ध्यायामो धवलावकुण्डलमतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्टिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मधुसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Yeah, this is the fifth chapter titled Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So this chapter consists of 29 shlokas. So though the name is Karma Sannyasam, it doesn't mean that Krishna is speaking about sannyasam of karma. So sannyasam in itself can be interpreted as renouncing all actions. So external sannyasam, that the Dashanami sannyasi state, is karma sannyasa, because they renounce all karma. They are not supposed to do any karma. So in the sixth chapter, Krishna himself will say that anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiyah sa sannyasi cha yogi cha na niragnir chakriyah. So there, in that shloka, he speaks about a sannyasi as a person who has renounced the fruit of action. So who is not craving for fruit and who is not attached to action as a sannyasi. And as per him, a sannyasi is not one who doesn't lit fire or who doesn't do actions. So the definition of sannyasam, or the red robe, or the Dashanami sannyasam that Shankara has given, or Shankara has started, the very description or the basis for that is that such a person shouldn't do any action and he is not supposed to lit fire. So that's the reason why the controversy regarding Shankara, people not agreeing Shankara to burn his mother, and therefore he cursed the people around in Kerala. And that story or that incident goes. So for sannyasam, Dashanami sannyasis, the two criteria is that they cannot lit fire and they are not supposed to do actions. Though they have their own actions, like out of the 48 samskaras, the various samskaras starting with the birth of a child or garbhadhanam and all those things, out of the 48 are for sannyasis. So sannyasis have, like, even they have particular actions that they have to do during Guru Purnima and other sacred days. But the very basis is that they are not supposed to do actions. So sannyasam itself means karma sannyasam. But here karma sannyasam, the title of the chapter karma sannyasam, can mean that it speaks about both karma and sannyasam. That can be the one interpretation of the word, the title of the chapter. Or we can also say that karma naam sannyasa hai. Krishna is not speaking about normal sannyasam. He is speaking about renunciation of actions. So it's not a sannyasi who has been initiated in the traditional sannyasam, but a person who has renounced all actions. So that's karma naam sannyasa hai. Sannyasam of karma. So that would be the derivation of the chapter name. Both are apt, that he's, because Krishna speaks about a real sannyasi here, as well as he speaks about the, he compares and contrasts like both karma and sannyasam here. And this chapter, like just before this chapter, Krishna, in the third chapter, Krishna spoke in depth about karma. So karma yoga, as to that, nahi kashchit chanam api jat tishtat ya karma krit. So not even for a single second a person can remain without doing action. Karyate hi avashaha karma sarvaha prakriti jayat gunaihi. Because of like prakriti's gunas, not either prakriti's gunas or inherent tendencies in a person, people do karma. So avashaha, people are like made, forced to do karma, they are bound to do karma, they cannot come out of it, it's an addiction. So not even for a single second a person can come out of karma. He has to do karma. So the only option is that whether a person is attached to the karma or not. So that's the only choice that a person has while doing actions. So even if it is a sannyasi, he will have the doing the various actions of doing well, good, or like doing actions for the welfare of the society. So there is no option for a person whether he can do karma or he cannot do karma. So Krishna ended that chapter, third chapter of Karma Yoga, by telling that you cannot, Arjuna, you cannot get out of karma. Each and every person in the world is forced to do karma. Therefore, don't try to avoid karma, but try to do it in a better way. Try to know that you are not the doer, the hankaram of the jiva is the doer, you are not the doer. Know that and do as an offering to Ishvara. So that's how he says in the third chapter. And then in the fourth chapter, Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yogam, Krishna spoke in depth about how to do karma, how to do proper karma. So karma, when we speak about karma, when a person is doing karma, then he is attached to the karma because he is the karta and he is craving for the phalam. So association with the karta is there and craving for the phalam is there. So that causes bondage. And then, like as Vidyaranya says, kurvate karma bhogaya karma kartum cha bhumchate. So again and again that cycle continues if a person does karma. So that's the meaning of karma. But a karma becomes sacred, a karma becomes a purifier, it purifies the mind when it becomes a yajna. So in the fourth chapter, after speaking about karma, in the fourth chapter Krishna spoke in depth about various yajnas, different yajnas that a person can do. So that he will not be affected by karma. And before that, like he briefly explained one of the intricate details or the fundamental theory of Vedantam itself, that karmanya karmaya pashye akarmanicha karmaya sa buddhiman manishyeshu sa yukta krishna karma krishna. Shankara's bhashya on that is very vast. In short, it is that who is a person who knows karma and who does karma in the most efficient way. So whom can be termed as a good karma, a person doing real good karma, so a good karta, the best karta possible, maybe like the judging of people that happens in companies or in work, office or personal life. Out of all actions, irrespective of whether the action is spiritual or worldly, who is the best karta? That is what Krishna speaks about here. Sir, buddhiman manishyeshu, a person who does karma in this proper way, he has proper intellectual conviction, and sir, he is the person, sa yuktaha krishna karma krit, he is the ideal person doing all the action in the right way. And for that, karmani akarmaya pashye. So karmani, in karma, one who says akarma. So in the word karma, broadly karma or anything related to karma, we can classify as three. One is karma, means doing action, and the other is akarma. Akarma means not doing action, and vikarma. So karma, akarma and vikarma. Vikarma means doing it the wrong way. Akarma is not doing, karma is doing. So these are the three possibilities that a person has with respect to karma. So karmanobhi bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmanah karmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmanogatihi. So in the fourth chapter, Krishna also tells that karmanohi api bodhavyam. A person should know about karma. What are the karma? What is karma? How to do it? How to make it a yajna and all? And vikarmanascha bodhavyam. He should know vikarma as well. Means the wrong actions. How not to do as well. And akarmascha bodhavyam. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. Sorry. Akarma. He should know also that the state of not doing all action. And it's very tough to understand karma because gahana karmano gatihi. Karmana karmano gatihi. the flow of karma is Gahana. Gahana means deep, like the Pacific Ocean, the deepest ocean. Karma, the flow of karma is very deep, that it is very tough to properly understand. But in short, that's what Krishna says, that a person, karmani akarma yaha pashyet, yaha karmani akarma pashyet. One who sees non-action or inaction, inaction would be the apt word. So one who sees inaction, inaction, karmani akarma yaha pashyet, akarmani cha karma yaha. And in akarmani karma, in inaction, action. So one who sees action in inaction and inaction in action, that is he is an intelligent person and he has done all the necessary karma. He is the ideal karta. So here it might seem a little bit odd, but what Krishna is really meaning is karma. Akarma, or the state of not doing action or state of inaction, is not as we consider as just sitting idle or sleeping. Because that's the reason why in the third chapter Krishna says, Nahi kashchachanabhi jadupishtatya karmakrit. Not even for a single second a person can remain without doing action. Then the state of inaction is only the state of sakshi. So that is the state of Brahman. So karma is there and akarma, the state of akarma is the state of Brahman. So karma, in karma a person should see Brahman and in Brahman a person should see karma. That means, we should remember while doing karma that whenever karma is being done, it is done in the substratum of Brahman, and in Brahman, in the substratum of Brahman, the illusion of karma comes. So whenever a person does karma, he should remember that karma and Brahman, karma, in karma Brahman is there, in Brahman karma is there. So in Brahman karma is there, that is, both are illusory, therefore like, we don't need to say that, okay, in karma, in Brahman karma, how can karma be there in Brahman, because Brahman is Advitiya, whereas karma means Dvaitam. Brahman is knowledge of jnanam, prakasham, whereas karma is out of ajnanam. So how can both be there? How can in Brahman karma be there? But this is only from the empirical viewpoint, therefore in Brahman karma is seen, and in karma, Brahman has to be seen. That means, a person, karmani akarma, while doing actions, he knows that he is a non-doer. He is the sakshi. He is the sakshi, therefore he doesn't do action. And in the sakshi, akarmani cha karma, in akarmani karma, and while doing also, he knows that, though I am not the doer, but the actions, or all the actions that are being done, that happens in me. So I am not the doer, but all the actions happen in me. So I am the substratum who is unaffected by actions, but actions happen because of me. So that is the real viewpoint of karma. And so that you can go through Shankara's Bhashyam, and if you can get translations and all. But that's one of the very important shlokas of Gita. Very tough to interpret, very lot of people misunderstand it. But that's the essence of the shloka. And therefore, after that, Krishna speaks about how to have this viewpoint, like how to see karma, how to see in karma, akarma, and in akarma, karma. How to see karma in Brahman and Brahman in karma through, like, we cannot directly take the viewpoint of sakshi, sakshi bhavam, we cannot directly take. Therefore, while doing action, make it a yajnam. So it starts with an elaborate list of yajnam, like Brahma Arpanam, Brahma Parihi. Brahma yajnam deva meva pare yajnam yoginat karma kuruvanti. Brahma agnava pare yajnam yajneneva upajuhvati. So he gives a lot of dharvi yajnas, apo yajnas, yogi yajnas, tata pare. Swadhyaya jnana yajnascha yate samshita vrataha. So he gives a lot of list of like dharvi yajnam, tapo yajnam, all different types of karma. When karma made into yajnam, Brahma arpanam, that Brahma yajnam, then we can, all actions that we do become yajnam. And then finally he concludes by telling, evam bahuvidha yajna vidata brahmano mukhe. In the scriptures, lot of yajnas have been propounded, but all are out of karma. So since all are based on karma, they are based on ajnanam. And like Sreyan dravyamaya yajna jnana yajna paramtapa. So lot of yajnas are there, svadhyayam and all, but yajnas itself, the karma yoga can itself be split into two. One is all based on purely karma, purely based on purifying the mind. And the other is knowledge, jnana yajnam. Jnana yajnam means like shravanam, which helps in gaining Brahman, is in attaining or realizing Brahman. So, greater than the dravya yajnam, dravya mayar yajnam means that yajnam which involves external objects, that involves doing things with our possession, including the mind, the intellect, sense organs and all. But greater than that is jnana yajnam. Jnana yajnam, wherein we don't have any option. Once we enter into it, then we have to realize Brahman. And the reason why jnana yajnam is greater than all other karma yajnam is that sarvam karma akilam partha jnani parisamapyate. All actions end in knowledge. So when knowledge comes, all actions end. So again, the same thing he explains in the fourth chapter. Again, after a few shlokas, he again says that yate idamsi samiddogni basmasat kurute arjuna jnana agni sarva karmani basmasat kurute tata. Even as fire burns firewood into ashes, similarly the fire of knowledge burns action into ashes. So after explaining all those things, that karma, so speaking about karma yoga, making it a yajnam, and then moving from karma yajnam or dravya mayad yajnam, yajnam which involves objects, to yajnam which involves knowledge or pramanam. So it moving to jnana yajnam, which in turn burns all actions. Finally, Krishna concludes the chapter with two shlokas, saying that yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchinna samshayam atmavantanna karmani nibadnandi dhananjaya. One who does action, yoga sanyasta karmanam, one who stops the craving for action, one who is not associated with the karta, and with that attitude, and when all doubts are killed by jnanam, and such a person does action being in the self, being immersed in the self. That means he is the sakshi and the ahankaram or the jiva does all actions. For such a person, karmani na nibadnanti. To him, like the karmas don't cling to him. So that is the second last shloka, which is the same as jnanam, saying that, okay, be the Atman, be in the Atman and do action. That means, if you are the Atman, like Shankara says in his Sujatiya Bhashyam, if the sense organs are going out, then they cannot see the Atman. If they are going inward, then they cannot see the sense objects. External objects they cannot see. So it's either of those. Similarly, here it's like either being the Atman or doing action. If you are doing action, then you cannot be the Atman. If you are the Atman, you cannot be the action. So the meaning of like be the Atman and do action is that be the Atman, be the Sakshi, and Ahankaram, know that Ahankaram is doing the action. So let actions happen, know that you are not the Ahankaram doing the action, and you are the Atman. And know that the karmas are only an illusion in the Atman. And so that is the same as doing jnana yajnam rather than karma. So going from karma to karma yoga or yajnas to jnana yajnam and renouncing being the Atman always. And then the very last shloka, Krishna confuses Arjuna. So he says, tasmat ajnana sambhutam hristam jnana sinatmanah. So chitvainam samshayam yogam atishta otishta bharata. So yogam atishta. So after all your with the sword of knowledge, like cut loose all bonds that you have and do yoga. So in many places of Gita, like in this chapter itself, fifth chapter itself, Krishna uses the terms of Sankhyam and Yogam. So the Sankhyam and Yogam, many people, like including great saints, have interpreted that as denoting the Sankhya Darshanam and the Yoga Darshanam. But Krishna's Yogam and Krishna's Sankhyam is not the two Darshanas. But Sankhyam means knowledge, Yogam means Karma Yoga. So, Siddhya Siddhyoho Samabhutva Samatvam Yoga Ucchete. So when a person has Samabhavana and he does action. So Yoga means doing. Wherever Krishna uses the word yoga, it is essentially maintaining equanimity. That means it is doing actions and maintaining equanimity. So yoga means karma yoga and sankhya means jnanam. So Krishna at the end of the fourth chapter, After speaking about, speaking in depth about jnanam and that jnanam burns karma, so jnanam negates karma, don't do karma, be the sakshi, he says, yogam atishtha. O Bharata, O Arjuna, after your doubts have been killed with the sword of jnanam, with knowledge, kill all doubts and then yogam atishtha, do karma yoga. Be situated in the Atman and do karma yoga. So in the second last sloka, he doesn't exactly say that do action, but he says be the Atman with knowledge so that karma won't stick to you. Here he says do yoga. So Arjuna gets confused that Krishna speaks in depth. One time he speaks about karma yoga, he praises karma yoga, and then he speaks about removal of karma. He speaks about karma sannyasam through knowledge. So jnana karma sannyasa yogam. Karma sannyasam through knowledge. So through knowledge removal of karma he speaks, and then finally he concludes by telling you are the Atman, you are unaffected by actions, actions won't cling to you, therefore do action. So there are two things that Krishna says here. One is stick on to knowledge, be the Atman, and he says like do action. So both seem for Arjuna is like most of us, he doesn't know the intricate details of Vedantam, therefore he gets confused. Because in one side Krishna says be the Atman means do karma sannyasam, and then in one side he says do yoga, do karma yoga. He says karma sannyasam through jnanam. Jnana means karma sannyasam. Jnanam means like not doing action, means knowing that I am not doing action. So jnana means karma sannyasam, yoga means karma yoga. Both are entirely opposite. When one is there, the other cannot be there. So Arjuna gets a bit confused as to what to follow. So Arjuna starts this chapter with the question of, O Krishna, you spoke about karma sannyasam. You spoke about renunciation of action through knowledge. And then you speak about yogam, karma yogam as well. Now tell me like which one I have to really follow. So Krishna would initially speak about it by saying that sannyasam or karma sannyasam is when a person is initiated into the sannyasa. Dashanami sannyasis. Karma yogam is when a person is in the world yet situated in Brahman. But finally he will conclude by telling that both are in fact same. What is required is not external sannyasam. So when Krishna said about jnana karma sannyasam, that was not external karma sannyasam as Arjuna doubts, but it is internal sannyasam. So the only when we think about karma sannyasam, we interpret karma sannyasam as external renunciation, then it becomes different from karma yoga. When karma sannyasam is understood as internal sannyasam, then it is not contrary to karma yoga. But Arjuna's question is that you have spoken about jnanam, the path of knowledge, the path of karma sannyasam, and you have spoken about yogam as well. So tell me, like, I'm confused now as to what to follow. So tell me which one is better of these so that I will follow that. Which one is better? So Krishna would later say that, okay, we cannot really speak about which is better or which is not better, because it depends from person to person. Both lead to the same goal. Both the jnana margam and karma yogam both lead to the same goal. When a person does jnanam, the karma sannyasam means a person is either an internal renunciate or external renunciate. External renunciate means he is not associated with the karta. And yogam means when a person has samabhavana and he does everything as an offering. So such a person who does everything as an offering, he is internally doing sannyasam. So whereas the karma sannyasin is doing externally the same thing, the karma yogin is doing internally. So that is karma yogam. So even karma yogam is not merely doing action, doing one's own duties. So if somebody says that, okay, I am doing my duty, therefore I am a karma yogi, I follow karma yoga, I like karma yoga because in that I can do my duty, I have my responsibilities, I can do my duty, then that's not karma yoga. That's far away from what Krishna speaks about. the Karma Yoga that Krishna speaks about is different from just doing our own duties. Karma Yoga in reality, or Karma Yoga as per Krishna, Yogam is when a person is doing everything as an offering to Ishvara, when he is getting away, internally he is a renunciate and externally he does action. That is Karma Yoga that Krishna speaks about here. So the chapter starts with Arjuna asking the question of, O Krishna, you have spoken about sannyasam, karma sannyasam through jnanam, and then you have spoken about yoga. So karma sannyasam or external renunciation and karma yoga. So as far as my knowledge goes, both are different. Karma sannyasam, whenever external renunciation is there, there cannot be a karma yogam. And karma yogam is there, there cannot be renunciation. And you spoke in depth about karma sannyasam through jnanam. I believe what you say as karma sannyasam, even if it is through jnanam or without jnanam, karma sannyasam means external renunciation, means following the Dashanami sannyasam, which is different from karma yoga. So tell me as to which one is easier, which one is better for me. So first thing is Krishna being the ideal teacher is not refuting Arjuna directly by telling that, oh, whatever karma sannyasam I spoke. So in the fourth chapter, whatever karma sannyasam that Krishna speaks about, the chapter name itself is Jnana Karma Sannyasam. So karma sannyasam through jnanam. So it is not external renunciation, it is internal renunciation through knowledge. So renunciation through knowledge can happen by external sannyasam, but it is not necessary that external sannyasam is required to have that knowledge. So through knowledge renunciation is not necessarily external sannyasam, it can be internal sannyasam like Balakrishna Nair, Nanchuran Gitraman and other people. So Krishna could have directly said to Arjuna, your doubt is invalid because whatever I spoke about, what a fool you are, I have spoken in depth about Jnana Karma Sannyasam. I told you that Kasaruvam Karma Akilam Patha Jnane Parisamapyate. Spoke about Jnanam, and Jnanam is when you go to the Guru and learn, you don't need to be a sannyasi, you can be a grihastha when you are learning. So what a fool you are to doubt or like misinterpret my words of karma sannyasam, of jnana karma sannyasam as external sannyasam, and then you are asking this doubt. So your doubt is pointless because I didn't speak about karma sannyasam and karma yogam, I spoke about jnana karma sannyasam. It is completely different from karma sannyasam. Krishna could have said that, but he being the ideal teacher, he didn't do that. So he answers Arjuna in the possible way. Maybe also that he thought, okay, this is a good topic. So this is good. He might have been an opportunist like many of us. So he would have thought, okay, this is a good chance to give my philosophy. Say that, okay, what is karma sannyasam? What do I think about sannyasam and karma yoga? So rather than just refuting Arjuna, Krishna would have thought, okay, this is a good topic to be dealt. Though I didn't exactly speak about it, still it's a good topic to speak about karma sannyasam and yogam. So karma yogam and karma sannyasam, both I can speak about it because it is a good topic. And like it's fortunate for us that like he entered into the topic, we find Krishna's view as to what are those two, like karma sannyasam and yogam. And like initially Krishna interprets sannyasam as normal sannyasam, and later he speaks about Sankhya Yogam. So he speaks about Sankhyam and Yogam. So Sankhyam means Jnanam, Karma Sannyasam through Jnanam. Yogam means Karma Yogam. So he speaks about both that as well. And it may be that during Krishna's time, Sannyasam was essential for Jnanam. Maybe therefore like he interprets for Arjuna's question of Sannyasam, Karma Sannyasam and Karma Yogam, he speaks about Sankhyam and yogam. Sankhya means jnana, which is different from karma sannyasa, external renunciation, but still Krishna in a way equates. That means Krishna may also feel that karma sannyasa, for many of the people in the world, like jnanam, if jnanam has to be complete, jnanam has to be purnam, then karma sannyasa is kind of essential. though that karma sannyasam can be internal as well, but external karma sannyasam might be. So don't get confused. But just that Arjuna is not interpreting Krishna's jnana karma sannyasam as in the right way. But Krishna, in his replies, he initially speaks about external sannyasam and karma yogam. So sannyasam and karma yogam, and then he speaks about sankhyam and yogam. So sankhyam means karma sannyasam tu jnanam, yogam means doing actions. So when Krishna speaks about sankhya yogam, we can take it from a understand it from a different perspective. The perspective is that, like, one is Nivritti Margam and one is Pravritti Margam. So in Nivritti Margam, the emphasis is on renouncing the action, renouncing the doer. But it's not external or internal, it is based on jnanam. Whereas in Karma Yogam, things are just offered to Ishvara, it becomes a yajnam. So either yajnam way or the jnanam way. So either we can say as, like, in simple words we can say, is it bhakti or jnanam? Is it the simple way of offering, or is it is the tough way of being the sakshi? Is it putting the emphasis on an Ishvara, or is it like putting the emphasis on ourselves? So Sankhya Yoga, he speaks about that as well. So sannyasam, karma yoga, sannyasam and karma. So Arjuna's question is to do with sannyasam and karma. Krishna is speaking about sannyasam, renunciation, and Krishna speaks about doing action as well, doing yogam, karma yogam. So it is contrary. And Krishna answers directly to sannyasam and yogam, and then he also speaks about sankhyam and yogam. He speaks about jnanam and yogam, that both jnanam and yogam, both the way of knowledge and the way of karma yoga, the way of like being renunciate internally through jnanam, using knowledge and using offering, both are the same. So Arjuna starts with the question. Arjuna vacha.
Arjuna vacha.
Sanyasam karmanam Krishna.
Sanyasam karmanam Krishna.
Punaryogam cha shamsasi.
Punaryogam cha shamsasi.
Yachreyam yetayorekam.
Yachreya yetayorekam.
Tanme bruhi sunishchitam.
Tanme bruhi sunishchitam.
So sannyasam karmanam. O Krishna. Krishna. O Krishna. Sannyasam karmanam sannyasam. Punaryo punaha. Karmanam sannyasam. Renunciation of actions, renouncing action, whether it is with jnanam or external, whether it is external or internal, forget it. Speak about external sannyasam. In general, you are speaking about renouncing all actions. Karmanam sannyasam and punaha again, yogam cha, yogam as well. Yoga means karma yogam, doing action. Shamsasi, so you are propounding, so you are telling, you are proclaiming renunciation of action on one side, and then later you are speaking about doing karma yoga as well. So the last, the 42nd shloka of 4th chapter speaks about yogam aptishta, and the previous shloka speaks about yoga sanyasta karmanam. So karmanam sanyasam Krishna, karmanam sanyasam and punaha yogam cha shamsasi, you are speaking about both. Yat shreya etayor ekam. Etayoho, of these two, yet shreya yekam, which is higher, which is better. So shreya can be interpreted as which is better or which will lead to moksha. So tell me, yet shreya yekam, yet ekam shreya. So etayor, of these, which one will lead me to Shreya? Shreya means Shreyas, like Kathopanishad speaks about Shreyo Margam and Preyo Margam. Preyo Margam is when a person goes behind worldly objects. Shreyo Margam is when a person goes behind eternal bliss or the Shashvatam, the eternal state. So yet Shreya. So Shreya means like whatever of these will lead to Moksham. One, that one Tanme, tat, tat, bruhi me. Tat, that, bruhi me, tell to me, sunishchitam. So, with clarity, means clearly tell me one, like out of these two, which will lead me to Shreyas. Don't confuse me. Both, I know that I have basic intelligence to know that both karma sannyasam, renunciation of action and doing of action, both are contradicting in nature. So, a person cannot do both, but you are speaking about both. So, tell me now, which will lead to Shreyas, which will lead to moksha, so that I can follow it. So that I can follow it, we can understand from it that you are speaking about both, karma yogam and sannyasam, both can't be done together because it is viruddham. It is contradicting or contrary. Both are contrary, therefore only one a person can do. So tell me which will lead to moksha, which is the moksha sadhanam for me, then I will follow it clearly. So clearly tell me, don't confuse me like before, clearly tell me which one can I follow. So Krishna replies, so Krishna's reply obviously has to be that we can never say that one is great or the other is not great. So one is great, one is not great, one is better, the other is not better. We cannot speak about that because pravritti and navritti margam, both the paths, direct interpretation of pravritti or doing karma and navritti or renunciation would be that finally renunciation will lead to moksha. Pravritti margam is only for people who are not capable of navritti. But that's not the exact meaning, because even the pravritti margam, if done in the right way, then that also would lead to indirectly following navritti margam. Though we can say ultimately knowledge is only, ultimately moksha is when a person renounces the ego, when he renounces action and its fruit, but still he can do it directly through navritti margam, through karma sannyasa, or he can do it through yogam. So Krishna himself will say that yogam doesn't mean that he is the karta. So real karma yogam is siddhya siddhyo samobhutva. So samatvam, if a person has to be maintain equanimity doing all action while all in whatever place or surrounding environment he is, then that means he has to do internal sannyasam. Without that he cannot maintain equanimity. Therefore both, you think that both will lead to different places, only one will lead to moksha, but we can't say one is greater and one is not greater. But for you, so even as in the Bhakti Yoga, Krishna speaks about, for the majority of people, Saguna Bhakti is better than Nirguna Bhakti, Sakara Bhakti is better than Nirakara Bhakti. Similarly, here also he will say, for the majority of people, which one is easier, which one is better for majority of people, though both will lead to the same goal. So Krishna answers by telling that, so Krishna, it's interesting to know that in the fifth shloka, Krishna speaks about Sankhya and Yogam, about Jnanam and Karma Yoga, Nivritti and Pravritti. Nivritti means like the following the path of knowledge, not sannyasam. But here Krishna is interpreting external sannyasam only. He doesn't speak about he doesn't really speak about internal sannyasam. So he doesn't refute Arjuna saying that I spoke about internal sannyasam, it's not external I spoke about, but he says it's internal. Or like if you don't want to get confused, then the better way to understand it is that sannyasam here means renouncing the ego, so either internally or externally, both ways renouncing the ego, and karma yoga means of doing things as an offering. In that way, like one becomes Sankhyam, following Jnanam, and one becomes Bhakti or Yoga. So if that is the way that Arjuna is asking, or Krishna is interpreting Arjuna's words, then Arjuna is not asking something which is different from Krishna. So it's the perspective that we really see. But sannyasam and karma yoga, the two paths of doing sannyasam and karma yoga, both are not separate. Whether it's internal, don't get confused. The thing is, like Krishna here in the third shloka, he speaks about karma yogi as an eternal sannyasi. So that would mean that the sannyasam that he is speaking about here is external sannyasam. So earlier, what if we interpret it as like sannyasam as only jnanam, then it's not right in the third shloka. So what here, sannyasam and karma yoga means external renunciation and doing karma. So Krishna, even as in the Bhakti Yoga, Krishna replies in a diplomatic way, yet he says what is best for Arjuna. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Sanyasa Karma Yogascha.
Sanyasa Karma Yogascha.
Nisreya Sakaravu Bhau.
Nisreya Sakaravu Bhau.
Tayostu Karma Sanyasa.
Tayostu Karma Sanyasa.
Karma Yogo Vishishyate.
Karma Yogo Vishishyate.
So, sannyasaha karma yogaha cha. Sannyasam, karma sannyasam and karma yogam. Both cha, both. Nisreyasaha kara, karau, ubau. Ubau nisreyasa karau. Ubau, both nisreyasa karau means both would lead to nisreyas. Both would lead to moksham. So, both sannyasam and karma yogam, both the pravritti margam and avritti margam would lead to moksham. So it's not that only one would lead to. If your question means that tell me one which will lead to moksham, then I'll have to say that both lead to moksham. Both will lead to moksham. We cannot say only a person who is a renunciate will attain moksham, or a person who is a grahastha. So the fight between grahasthas and sannyasis, that's always there. One person might claim that, okay, sannyasis might claim sannyasam is tough. I have to depend only on alms. I can't depend on anything else. So my life is very tough. And the grahastha will say, I have so many responsibilities, I have so many duties, so mine is tough. So people who claim that grahastha is greater, sannyasi is greater, or the other way, sannyasi might say, grahastha, you are enjoying. And grahastha may say, you are enjoying. So both ways, people don't understand it. Whether a person is in a sannyasi, or a karma yogi, grahastha, in both ways, like both has its own advantages and disadvantages. But externally, whatever be the state, internal is what is required. And internally, if sannyasam and if karma yogam, if both a person follow in the right way, if a person is following these in the right way, then he will get realization. How he will get realization? How, like, karma yogi, like, or the margam of bhakti, or karma cannot lead to moksha because jnana alone can lead to moksha. So, karma sannyasam means jnana karma sannyasam. So, though here Krishna uses karma yoga, so it can be interpreted in many ways. Like, so here, like, if, like, let's take it just as external sannyasam, but still, if we consider like sannyasam, renunciation of actions, then that means it is through jnanam. So if it is through jnanam, so if we consider jnanam, the path of jnanam and the path of bhakti, in the path of bhakti a person indirectly becomes a sannyasi because he offers everything. So in the path of karma yoga, all actions are offered. When actions are offered internally, he is a sannyasi. Whereas the normal sannyasi is externally, he has renounced all actions. Whereas the karma yogi, so even we don't need to consider jnana karma sannyasam, external sannyasam and the karma yogi. So a real karma yogi is one who has renounced actions internally. So the sannyasi is a person who has renounced the ego, actions, everything externally and internally, whereas the karma yogi is a person who has renounced it internally. And internal is what really matters, therefore both are same. So Krishna will say that in the third shloka. So both would lead to moksha. So both are nishreyas. I cannot say that only one of them would lead. So, but being an ideal guru, Krishna has to reply to Arjuna with one path. Else Arjuna would get confused and again he will say, my Gandivam is falling down and all those things. Therefore, but Krishna takes a, Krishna gives a warning that both don't think like, I might give you one way, but don't think that is greater and that is better. Because both the ways are best, both the ways are good. Both the ways would lead to moksha. Yet, tayostu, Still, out of those, Vishishyate, one is greater. One is greater means one is greater my perspective, that means my vision, according to me. So what is that? Karma sannyasad. Than karma sannyasad. So vishishyati. Greater than sannyas, better than karma sannyasa means karma yoga. So out of those two, karma yoga means greater or better than karma sannyasam. So here like karma yoga means greater than karma sannyasam. So it is one, we have to understand that this is Krishna's viewpoint, personal viewpoint. And two, it is for Arjuna. And it is not just these two reasons, but Krishna will say in the third shloka as to why sannyasam, karma yoga is greater than karma sannyasam. Due to many reasons we can say. But most of the commentators, including Shankara, claim that here, sannyasam is the greatest because there are Shruti quotations which speak about Nyasam as Brahman. So Nyasam is the ultimate, or Sannyasam is ultimate, Sat-Nyasam. So Sannyasam is greater, therefore here it is a Stuti. So here Karma Yogam has been praised. So Krishna praises Karma Yogam in order to make Arjuna do. So Stuti is a kind of Arthavadam. It is not real, completely real, but it is praising something so that we can make a person do it. So praise of something in order to gain more attention. So that's how many people interpret it, but we don't exactly need to interpret it that way. Arjuna's question is with respect to sannyasam. It's not internal sannyasam. It is just external sannyasam. So, better than sannyasam means karma yogam because of the reason that Krishna gives in the third shloka. So, in many places, many commentators, even in the sixth chapter starting shloka that I quoted, anashrita karma phala karyam karma karoti asa sannyasi cha yogi cha. So, in the sixth chapter, Krishna says a sannyasi and a yogi. As per me, sannyasam and yogam is anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karoti asa. Karma phalam anashrutaha, one who doesn't crave for karma phalam and kāyam karma karotiha, whatever is to be done, he does. So, it's like a person who has done whatever is to be done, kṛta kṛtya bhavam, like Krishna speaks about in the 15th chapter. So that is how Krishna says, and many people, including traditional interpreters, and most people who analyze it, they say that it is Arthavadam because sannyasam, Krishna cannot degrade sannyasam, he is degrading sannyasam. So only when we see from a limited viewpoint, we may say that okay, this kind of Krishna is praising and all. But here it is not, we don't even need to, like for example, this commentary of Vidyaranya's guru, Shankarananda. In his commentary, he speaks about karma yoga stuti. Because sannyasam, sannyasasya sarvarupatva sarvottamatva cha. So karma yogam has been praised here. Because sannyasam is greater, sannyasam is best. So the real meaning of sat, sannyasam means sat nyasam. Nyasam means conviction about sat is sannyasam. So real sannyasam is conviction about sat, that is greater. Not external sannyasam. Our meaning of sannyasam, the normal sannyasam, external sannyasam, that cannot be claimed to be greater. We don't need to consider this as a stuti. We just need to consider that this is from with respect to Arjuna. For Arjuna, Krishna is saying karma yoga is greater. Like Paramatma says in many places that, oh Arjuna, Krishna says, oh Arjuna, if you go to a forest taking sannyasam, then you will form a tribe there and you will become their leader, because your very nature is karma, doing karma. Your very nature is rajoguna pradhanam, therefore you have to do karma. So for people who are prone to do karma, there is no use going into sannyasam because there also they will do karma. They will form some group, they will become head and then they will do karma. So for you, karma yoga is great. Or even as like in bhakti yoga, he says, so for majority of people, karma yoga is greater than karma sannyasam because karma sannyasam is one thing is karma sannyasam is not easy. External sannyasam, though it may seem very easy, okay, renouncing everything, people will say, for sannyasam, I won't take it that. It's very easy. I have a lot of duties, responsibilities, I need to do that. That is tougher than sannyasam. I can do that when I'm 60 years, 70 years, but most of the people who say that, they won't take sannyasam when it is 60 or 70. So it's not very easy to take sannyasam, it's not very easy to leave all bondages and go into a separate world. It's like going into a new country where you don't know anyone, you don't have anyone, into a new area, new place itself. So that requires a lot of strength, that requires courage, that requires knowledge. So sannyasam is not as simple as we think it is. So simple to take, leave everything and go. And moreover, sannyasam, only a sannyasi can initiate another sannyasi. So you should find a person who can initiate you. So in order to initiate a person, you'll have to spend 10 or 15 or 20 years. In Ramakrishna mission, after 15 years, they give yellow robe and then after that sannyasam. In Chinmaya mission also, it goes like that because Tejomayananda got initiated in 1990 or 1986 or 87 or 89. He was with Chinmaya since 1965 or something like that. So after 20 years. So sannyasam is not that, you can't get sannyasam that easy. It is not that easy as we think. It's not easy to follow it. It's not easy to get initiated as well. So majority of the people that we are, karma yoga is better for us. And Krishna knows that people might argue. People might say that, okay, you are doing arthavadam, you are doing stuti. It's not right. What you are telling is not right. Karma yoga is greater. Karma yoga is better for most of the people. That's not right. Because sannyasam is greater. You can never degrade it. So Krishna knows that people would say that. Therefore he says that why karma yoga is greater in the third shloka. Nyasa nitya sannyasi,
nyasa nitya sannyasi,
yo na dveshti na kaṁshati,
yo na dveshti na kaṁshati,
nirdvandho hi mahabaho,
nirdvandho hi mahabaho,
sukam bandhat pramuchyate,
sukam bandhat pramuchyate.
So why is a karma yogi greater? So unless we understand karma yoga in the proper way, we cannot interpret it right. So what is karma yoga? Karma yoga is maintaining equanimity. For a karma yogi, he doesn't have any dvesham. He doesn't have any ragam and dvesham. He doesn't crave anything. He doesn't have aversion towards anything. So you, a person na dveshti na kaṁshati, a person who doesn't have any dvesham, a person who doesn't seek anything, such a person is a karma yogi, and such a person is nitya sannyasi. Nyeha, no, such a person, a karma yogi, to be nitya sannyasi, to be ever a renunciate. Unlike external sannyasi who is externally renunciated, the karma yogi, a real karma yogi is a person who has, there may be sannyasis who are like Tejomayananda and many others who are real externally as well as internally renunciates, but there are also people like who are externally renunciated but internally they fight for various things like arguing about people, complaining about people, craving things and all those things. But for a karma yogi, a real karma yogi is one who is ever renunciated because yona dveshti na kaṁshati, because he doesn't have any dvesham, he doesn't seek anything, and nirdvandho, he is without any dvandho bhavam, he doesn't have duality. That's the reason why siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva, during good times, bad times, during what the dvandva bhavam doesn't affect his mind. He is having samabhavana. So a person who has that samabhavana, who is samatvam, such a person is ever renunciate. Therefore, he mahabaho, O mahabaho, O Arjuna, he surely what? Bandhat, from bandham, such a karma sannyasi, from bandham, pramuchyati, he gets liberated from bandham. So though he is a karma yogi, he does actions, still he gets liberated from bondages because he doesn't crave anything, he doesn't hate anything, he doesn't have any dvandva bhavam. He maintains sukhanamiti. And does he get liberated? Not just liberated, sukham pramuchyate. Sukham means very easily. So he easily, he quickly gets liberated. We can say like a karma yogi is a person who offers everything as an offering. Therefore, internally he maintains equanimity. That means external actions purify his mind and internal state, the knowledge that everything is an offering to Ishvara, the knowledge that everything is but an illusion in Brahman, everything is Ishvara, that knowledge along with offering not only purifies his mind, but it also gives him knowledge. That also like liberates him. So purification of the mind as well as attaining or realizing Brahman both happen with just the one path. Whereas in external sannyasam, in sannyasam a person first renounces actions and then he goes behind jnanam. He takes the path of jnanam, he learns knowledge after renouncing actions. Whereas here actions are done, but while doing actions itself, renouncing action as well as knowledge both come together. Therefore, that is the reason why, since a karma yogi is a nitya sannyasi, is ever renunciate, unlike the external sannyasi who takes sannyasam after a particular age and then he learns knowledge, a karma yogi is always a renunciate. Therefore, I said that karma yoga is greater. Karma yoga is greater because a karma yogi is always a renunciate. So it's like telling that sannyasam, we have a sannyasi and we have a karma yogi who is also a sannyasi. So we have two things together there. So we can understand which is better. Like we have a sannyasi who does only sannyasam, who is doing only sannyasam, whereas we have a karma yogi who does karma yogam, who does karmam as well as is a sannyasi. So two things together. It's like telling that which accomplishes two things. Like a single processor and dual core processor. So single processor greater than single core processor. Single processor is dual core processor because there are two processors. Similarly, something which does not just one thing, which does two things. So like with one arrow killing two people. So that is better than killing one person with an arrow because the second does more than the first. So that has to be greater. So sannyasi is only a sannyasi, whereas karma yogi does karma yoga. He does actions as well as he is an ever renunciate as well. Therefore, karma yoga is greater. So, I don't see any stuti. It's not just stuti. So, it is Krishna is telling that karma yogi is as per me. As per my view, karma yogi is greater. But both are the same. Both are external. Both are essentially same. Karma sannyasi renounces. First renounces action and then follows jnanam, whereas a karma yogi does both together. But for my viewpoint, I think karma yoga is greater because there are both things. He is also a sannyasi, he does karma yoga as well. And for me, it is greater also. So Krishna gives the reason as to why I think karma yoga is greater. But we should remember that Vedanta, Lakshmiananda used to say that Vedanta is always subjective. So Krishna's reply here is to a person who is doing karma, a person who cannot get away from karma. So that means for Arjuna. So for Arjuna, karma yoga has to be greater. Krishna has to say that karma yoga is greater because he cannot do karma sannyasa. He cannot externally renounce. It is impossible for him. Therefore, karma yoga is greater. Can directly take the meaning, or like we can say that, okay, it's not for Arjuna alone, but it's for everybody. But if we take that, it's for everybody that Nitya Sannyasam is greater, then it will lead to a lot of confusion. Then you'll have to argue with a lot of people saying that, okay, I don't want to take Sannyasam because Karma Yogam is great. Krishna has said Karma Yogam is great. All those confusions will come. So it is from a person to person. Like it's like subjective. It depends on the seeker. Here Arjuna, like most of the people in the world, he's a person who has desires, who cannot be without doing action externally. Therefore, for him, Karma Yogam is greater than Sannyasam. And maybe Krishna himself anticipates the doubt or the objection that, are you praising Karma Yogin? So are you praising Karma Yogin, which means that you are praising Karma Yoga is greater than Sannyasam, which means that Karma Yoga and Sannyasam both are different. So only one would lead. You said both are same, both will lead to the one truth, but then you are again going back on your word by saying that Karma Yoga is greater. So though, like if we really understand the third shloka, what he says is that Karma Yogi is also a sannyasi. That means Karma Yogi, we can translate Karma Yogi in or convert it or transform a Karma Yogi also into a sannyasi, which means we had sannyasi and a Karma Yogi to compare. And Krishna said Karma Yogi is always a renunciate. That means there is no Karma Yogi, there is only a renunciate there, which means that we have sannyasi and we have another sannyasi, which means both are same. But for you, I would say Karma Yoga is greater. So anticipating all such objections that, okay, which is greater, which is not greater, Krishna says that some people might say that jnanam, the jnanam which is the basis for sannyasins. Sannyasins have only two actions. So external sannyasam, people have only two activity mainly. So atmano rakshartam jagat hithayacha. So atmanaha rakshartam. So uplift the atman. That means know the atman. So knowing the atman or moksha is one of the activity for a sannyasi, and jagat hithaya. So, and doing welfare for the entire world. So welfare for the entire world through social activities or through spiritual discourses or yajñas. So those are the only two activities that are possible for a sannyasi. So a sannyasi is a person who predominantly bases himself on jnanam, whereas Karma Yogi bases himself on karma. So sannyasam and karma. So Arjuna's question was sannyasam and karma. So Krishna is, though it's not the same as jnana karma sannyasam and yoga, because jnana karma sannyasam is not the same as external renunciation, but it is internal renunciation. But Krishna says, okay, let us for now think that, okay, karma sannyasam, whatever Arjuna asked, or external sannyasam means a person is basing himself on jnana, whereas karma yogi is basing himself on yogam, karma yogam. So we have the sankhyam or the jnanam and yogam. So karma sannyasam and karma yogam gets transformed in, or we can convert them into jnanam or sankhyam and yogam. So we have two separate parts here, sankhyam and yogam, or nivritti margam and pravritti margam. Out of this nivritti margam and pravritti margam, I have said, like people would argue to Krishna saying, you have said now that yogam, pravritti margam is greater. So that is an insult to the various sannyasis out there, like Shankara and others. Therefore, and it is contradicting your own statement that both would lead to moksha. How can both lead to moksha and still one be greater? So that itself, if a person really analyzes that, okay, both will lead to moksha and one is greater, itself means that one which is greater is easier for majority of people, like Saguna Ishara Bhajanam. Saguna Ishara Bhajanam is better for many of the people because Klesho Adhikatara Stesham, whatever Krishna has said himself. So it is easier because such a person is not getting away from action. He is doing action. Since he cannot be without doing action, he does action, but he internally he is a sannyasi. So that is easier for majority of people. So again, like you can, or any person can argue that, oh, I have been trying to do that people say, like, is external sannyasi, but being in the world, doing action and being a sannyasi is easy, but I can't do it. So it's all dependent from person to person. This is far easier than renouncing everything. So we are still doing action, but we are trying to be a sannyasi. So that's simpler because we don't need to. For an external sannyasi, you have to first cut all bondages. Like, it's like telling, okay, I have been smoking for 10 days. I cannot leave it suddenly. Gradually I can leave it, but I can't leave suddenly. Sannyasam is still like telling, okay, stop it. Today. From today you will not smoke. So that's very tough for majority of people. Whereas if somebody says, okay, smoke, but reduce your smoking and say to yourself daily that smoking is injurious. And like have the real feeling that smoking is injurious, not just telling that, because people would say that smoking is bad, but I know, but I still do it. But with real desire, with real intention, slowly over a period of time, you can get rid of smoking. So sannyasam is very tough because you have to put a stop to all your desires. You have to tread an entirely different path. Whereas in karma yoga, you are following the same path, you are having your desires, you are doing things, but you just offer it to Ishvara so that you are unaffected by it, you maintain samabhavana. So that's the reason why it is, Krishna says that it is better as per me, because for the majority of people, sannyasam is very tough. Karma yoga is kind of easier. So though we can see it's a perspective viewpoint, so sannyasi is a person who does karma yoga. As I said, sannyasam, you can say karma yoga is greater because karma yoga has karma yoga as well and sannyasam as well, but still both translate to the same point. It's only the perspective from which we see. Sannyasam, leaving everything might seem easy, might seem simple, but it won't be that easy to do, whereas like this might be easier to do. It's from a person to person perspective. And finally or ultimately, whichever viewpoint we take, Krishna says karma yoga is greater because for the majority of people it is easier to do, and in that you don't have to get rid. And there you have, if somebody might feel happy, then Krishna says, okay, if you want very good reason, then I am giving you very good reason by telling that a sannyasi does only sannyasam, whereas a karma yogi does karma yogam as well as sannyasam. So you do two things, so be happy with that. So anticipating all objections and all, so Krishna enters into, translates sannyasam into jnanam or sankhyam, which was his topic in the previous chapter, karma sannyasam through jnanam. So jnanam and karma yoga. So many people would argue and go for one, like pravritti margam, nivritti margam, pravritti is greater, nivritti is greater. Even Shankara in his Bhashyam on Ishavasya Upanishad, in the second shloka, which speaks about pravritti margam, Shankara interprets it as like pravritti margam would indirectly lead to nivritti and then only lead to moksha. But that leading internally need not be direct. It can be that like it is internally in it. You don't even need to know that you are doing internal sannyasam. Indirectly you will be doing it. So both are good. Both are good, just that the way we define nivritti and pravritti, it matters. So we may say that pravritti margam is doing action alone and nivritti is not doing action or maintaining sakshi bhavam. But we can also say that pravritti is the ideal way of pravritti, and pravritti is when we do actions in the right way. That means we are doing karma yoga. Whereas nivritti is when we pronounce externally and internally. So both are the same, though I think many commentators interpret that pravritti and nivritti are not exactly the same thing. So nivritti is better and pravritti means just doing karma. But pravritti, the right meaning of pravritti would be karma yoga. So Krishna enters into sankhyam and yogam and compares that in the next two shlokas. And he also tries to justify his statement that karma yoga is greater. As to why karma yoga is greater, he says that it's a comparison from person to person. So even as Nirguna Bhakti and Saguna Bhakti. Saguna Bhakti is easier because Nirguna Bhakti majority cannot do. Similarly, he also goes on to later to say that Sannyasam is very tough. So if a person doesn't have Karma Yogam, if he doesn't have the sense of offering, then Sannyasam can become very tough. So tough that a person would be external renunciate, but he won't have Sakshi Bhavam or offering. So both ways, it will not serve him at all. It will be very bad for him. Therefore, Karma Yogam is greater, because Karma Yogam is... So, in brief, Krishna in a way says that for sannyasam, a person to do real sannyasam, he need to have Karma Yogam. For a person to be a real sannyasin, that means internal sannyasin, then he need to follow Karma Yogam. Even though he may be a sannyasi while doing actions, being a sannyasi while doing the actions of a sannyasi, he needs to have Karma Yogam. Unless he has Karma Yogam, for a sannyasi also it will be tough. It will be tough or very tough or impossible to realize, impossible to attain moksha. Whereas for a Karma Yogi, he is in the world, he can easily do things. So for sannyasi as well, it's not that Karma Yoga has Karma Yogam as well as sannyasa, but for a sannyasi, he need to have the right attitude, and that attitude is what is called as Karma Yoga. Is it getting confused? Okay. Yeah, so in the 4th and 5th sloka, Krishna speaks about compassion, Sankhya Yogam, and then he again goes back into the topic of why sannyasam. Why sannyasam is tough, and why did I say that Karma Yogam is greater for majority. Sankhya Yogau Pritak Bhalaha
Sankhya Yogau Pritak Bhalaha
Pravadantina Panditaha
Pravadantina Panditaha
Ekamapyastitas Samyak
Ekamapyastitas Samyak
Ubayogvindate Phalam
Ubayogvindate Phalam
Yat Sankhye Prapyate Sthanam
Yat Sankhye Prapyate Sthanam
Tat Yogairapi Gamyate
Tat Yogairapi Gamyate
Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha
Ekam Sankhyam Cha Yogam Cha
Yap Pashyati Sa Pashyati
Yes, Yap Pashyati Sa Pashyati
Yeah, so Sankhya Yogau Pratak Pratak Sankhya Yogau Pratak Sankhyam and Yogam. When we speak about Sankhyam and Yogam, Pratak, separate, distinct, different. Balaha Pravadanti. Children proclaim or say that both are different. So children here means people who are, the word of Balaha is used in scriptures for a person who doesn't have proper intellect. So he is an unintelligent person. He is an Ajnani. So Ajnani, person who doesn't know who, means Bala doesn't mean that children. Like elderly people also would say that Sannyasam and Karma Yogam is different. Whereas Vedantam doesn't split Pravritti and Navritti Margam. It doesn't split Karma Yogam and Karma Sannyasam, because both are the same. Both finally lead to the same thing. One has the other in it. In Sannyasam you need to have Karma Yogam internally. In Karma Yogam you need to have Sannyasam internally. So one is external, one is internal. In sannyasam, externally sannyasam, internally karma yogam. In karma yogam, externally karma yogam and internally sannyasam. So both are there, both will lead to the same thing. But pratak, balaha. So ignorant people would term them or call them as pratak, different. So pravadanti, prakarshena vadanti. So vadanti means speak, prakarshena. Strongly say that both are different. Na panditaha, not panditaha. Not people who have knowledge, not learned pandits, not people who have proper intelligence, proper intellectual conviction, proper intellect, their intellect is working proper. Such people will not say that both are different. And why wouldn't they say like both are not different? And why do you say people who say both are different are bala, are ignorant? Because ekamapi astitaha. Ekam api astitaha. Astitaha, one who recites, one who follows ekam, either of these. So a person who follows either of these, a person who is following one of these, ekam api asrita, one alone a person follows. So if a person follows either Sankhyam or Yogam, either Sannyasam or Karma Yogam, Samyak, Samyak means in the right way. So a person who is a person who follows one of these in the right way, that means like he is doing it samyak, samyak astitaha. So samyak means in the right way. The it's not that okay, I took sannyasam, I am going to an ashram, I join a mission, I take a red robe from somebody and I gain sannyasam. That is not what Sankhyam that Krishna is speaking here. It's Sankhyam in the right way, in the right sense. That means a person who is taking sannyasam with all knowledge, with all will, completely knowing that I don't want this, therefore I am taking sannyasam, I am taking sannyasam for jnanam, and then he follows jnanam. So he does it in the right way. Now, similarly, yogam is not a person saying that I have responsibilities, I do my duties, that's it. Weekly once I go to the temple, I do my duties, therefore I am a karma yogi. Oh, I don't like, there are many people who will claim that, oh, jnanam, I don't want knowledge and all. I have karma, I like karma, I like doing action because I like it. I like doing action because that in that like I have to keep my duties, I have to keep up my responsibilities and all those things. But that's not karma yogam. Karma yogam is when a person, Krishna himself will say later in this chapter. So karma yogam is when a person is offering everything. So it's not mere offering, it is offering with the knowledge that everything is Brahman. Without that knowledge there cannot be any samabhavana. So siddhya siddhyo samo bhutva. So as Krishna said in the previous shloka, nyayasya nitya sannyasi nirdvandho. So that all those are definitions of a yogi. So if somebody says like that I am doing karma yoga, then you can know that such a person is another bala that Krishna says here, because he doesn't know what karma yoga is. So the real karma yoga or the real sankhya yoga means samyak astitaha, doing it in the right way, doing it as is required, as is prescribed, and ubayoho. So if a person follows either of those, then ubayoho, both of them, that means he is following either of them, he'll give vindate phalam. Ubayoho vindate phalam. Both will give its fruit. That means either if a person is following either of those in the right way, then ubayor phalam. Ubayor means the phalam of both he will gain. So ubayoho phalam vindate. The fruit of both he will attain. So if a person is following Sankhya Yogam is not different, one thing. It is not different. Why is it different? It's not different because if a person follows one in the right way, then he will gain the fruit of both. Oh, he will gain the fruit of both. That means there are two fruits out of both. That means like if I follow one, then I will get something else. It's like telling I am eating. So if I eat, then I can listen good music. Because if I eat, I can listen as well. So it's like telling if I do Sankhyam, if I do take Sannyasam, then I will do Karma Yogam, I will get the benefit of Karma Yogam. It's impossible. So the only way a person can gain the fruit of both when doing one is when both have the same fruit. So these two are different paths that lead to the same goal. That's the only way when ekam api astitaha samyak ubayor vindate phalam. When a person is following one in the right way, he will gain the fruit of both. But since their goal, the fruit of both are same, therefore we cannot say that both are different. From the path perspective, we can say jnana margam and karma margam, both are different. We can say both are different, but from the goal perspective, from the phalam perspective, both are same. Therefore, panditas don't differentiate. And what matters is not the path, it is the goal that matters. It doesn't matter whether we go to office in a bus or a car or by walk. What matters is that we reach office. So it's the goal that matters, not the path. Only fools or ignorant people will argue about this path, that path. Whereas both this path of jnanam and karma will lead to one goal. That's the reason why both are not different. So panditas or learned people don't differentiate between both paths, because if you follow one, you will gain the fruit of both. Gain the fruit of both is impossible. Therefore, anticipating the doubt that you say give fruit one, I'll follow one and I'll get the fruit of both, that is impossible. Therefore Krishna says, yet sankhyai prapyate sthanam. Sankhyaihi, by people who are following sankhya, sankhya yogam or jnana yogam, what sthanam, what goal they attain, prapyate, what goal they attain, tad, that yogaihi apigamyate. Yogaihi apigamyate, yogins also reach that state. So whatever the sankhya or the jnana, jnanis, the goal that jnanis attain, the same goal yogis also attain. And ekam, and since the goal is the same for both, therefore one, if you follow, you will get the goal of both. And so if you gain the goal of both, then why say we have both? Why not say it is one? Because the path is different. So since the path is different, so we have to differentiate. But with, from the goal perspective, both are same. So ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha. Sankhyam cha yogam cha ekam. One who sees both these paths as having one goal. So both these paths are different path, different way of doing things, but will leading or leading to the same goal. Yeah, pashyati, one who sees both of these as one. So both of these, again, both of these as one. Both of these cannot be one, because both of these are different. Externally one, internally different. So sannyasam and karma yogam are never same. Karma yoga path and the jnana, or jnanam and the bhakti path, both are not same. So you cannot say ekam. So when Krishna, so in many of these words, like, you'll have to interpret things in the right way. Else, if you literally take things, it will be wrong. So ekam api astitaha ubayor vindate phala means that cannot make any sense literally. So you'll have to understand that it means the goal is one. Similarly, ekam sankhyam cha yogam cha pashyati. One who sees sankhyam and yogam as one means, one who sees sankhyam and yogam as finally leading to one, because we do actions for the goal. We do actions for the phalam. That means both of these will lead to the same phalam. Sa pashyati, he sees. That means he is the person having the right vision. He is the person who has the right vision. And since both lead to the same goal, therefore only ignorant people argue that this is great, that is great. Bhakti is great, jnanam is great. People argue only people who don't know that different paths lead to the same goal. So again the question will come, if different paths lead to the same goal, so jnana margam and bhakti margam lead to the same goal, then why do you say that jnanam alone can give realization? Why does Shankara say that knowledge alone can give? Tameva vidvan amritaiha bhavati nanyapanta vidyate naya. So nanyapanta vimuktaye tameva vidva viditva mrityameti or atyeti, whatever is the word. So why does Shankara say that jnanam alone is the path? Why does Balakrishna say there is only one way of realizing? So that one way there is not the path. It is the final step. So whichever path you take, whether you take the path of knowledge, so the path of knowledge means the margam, jnana, sadhana, which is shravana, manana, nididhyasanam. Whereas the path of karma, yogam or bhakti is offering and doing anusandhanam. So one is nididhyasanam, one is anusandhanam. The both ways you take, the final goal, when you reach the final goal, the final step is realizing that I am, that aham brahmasmi. So I am, for a jnani it will be that I am Brahman. For a bhakta it will be that I am the Ishvara whom I thought was everything. So I am everything or Ishvara is everything, whichever way, the final goal will be that I am Brahman. So is knowing I am that. And that jnanam is aparoksham. It's not an experience. It is not a sadhana, it is not an experience. So what Shankara says as jnanam is brahmatmaikya jnanam, and that jnanam is the goal. So the goal itself is knowing that. So that is the final step. Whether you go through bhakti margam or karma yogam, all you go through jnanam, final goal is jnanam. So when Shankara or Balakrishnan Nair or Vedantin says that jnanam, a person can realize only through knowledge, that means the knowledge that I am Brahman, the final knowledge. So a person might do karma yoga, a person might offer everything like Vaishnavas do. So prapatti or total surrender, always surrendering everything to Vishnu, even then they won't realize, they won't get the goal because they don't have the jnanam for the goal. The final step of jnanam is that I am that. So I am that Vishnu. That if when a person doesn't acknowledge, then that means even the normal jnanam will not give you moksha. That is the reason why. So when Shankara says jnanam alone will give goal, that is the goal jnanam, not the path jnanam. And when Krishna is speaking about Sankhyam, or when Shankara says about a person, Atma Bhare, Srotavyo Mantavyo Nididhyasitavya, Dashtavyo Srotavyo Mantavyo Nididhyasitavya. So where Atman has to be seen, Atman has to be reflected, heard, and all those things, that means it is a jnana margam. So the karma sannyasam that Arjuna asked, and Krishna is speaking about the Sankhyam, is a jnana margam, similar to the karma margam. Whereas what the jnanam that Shankara says, whenever Shruti speaks about Tameva Vidvan Amrteha Bhavati, there the Vidvan or the jnanam there is the goal jnanam, not the jnanam. Easier way of understanding is we have the goal, we have one step, the final step to goal. So we have one step below the goal and then we have two ways going, two stairs leading to that one step. So that one step is the knowledge, the ultimate knowledge, whereas the other is just the jnana margam. So unless you understand that, then again the question will come, okay, Sankhyam. Krishna says Sankhyam and Yogam, that means jnanam and bhakti. So what Shankara says that jnanam alone will lead to moksham, that is wrong, because Krishna says that jnanam and bhakti. So when Shankara says that, he speaks about Brahmatmaikit jnanam, the ultimate knowledge that everything is Brahman, I am Brahman. Whereas here the jnanam where Krishna speaks about is the margam, is the path. We will continue next day. Okay.